You guys, it is the season 3 season finale. Fear the Walking Dead over at The Walking Dead Weekly. Don't click away.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Fear the Walking Dead fans? We had to open with this song, as I'm sure as all of you watched the episode know why we opened with this song. I'm really excited to dive into these last two episodes of season 3 with my co-host. I am your host, Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I Am Timothy Mike, and I am joined by my fellow Christmas song lover.
Hi guys, I'm Natalie Dyer, and you can find me at Natalie Dyer on all social media platforms. That's NataleeDyer.
You guys, these episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just dive into it. But I want to know, Natalie, your initial feelings for a season finale.
Really?
That's yeah.
What? Oh my god, they died. No, they didn't die. Oh my god, they died. Oh my god, they didn't die. That was my feeling throughout the whole thing. So.
Did you think that this was a strong or a weak season finale?
I don't know.
You guys are all very confused.
I'm just like, it was such a strange season finale. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. It really did make me think that everybody died, and I'm a little concerned for some of my
your people,
my characters.
Yeah.
Are they alive? Are they not alive? I don't know.
You guys were all freaking out here. I'm going to be honest here. I thought that this season started really strong,
mm-hmm.
and I think it ended like you in a weird place. I think. They could have done so much more.
There was, like, no wrapping up of storylines.
I don't even know
I
don't even know if that's what I'm mad at. I don't know if I'm mad because they didn't wrap it up. I mean, I'm all for a cliffhanger. I really am.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
But there was no wrap-ups. The only person that we know for sure is alive is Madison.
Right. The only person we know for sure is dead is Troy. So we have an alive and we have a dead, and the rest we just don't know what's going on.
You know what? Let's just break down the episode,
yes,
shall
please.
We? So we start off. Nick is doing his little drug thing,
mm-hmm.
With the brain stems.
Yeah.
Did we think? And you said it earlier. Did we think that this was short lived? This whole drug thing.
No, I really thought that was going to drag on for a little bit longer. But this was like a one episode thing.
Yeah. I was very confused.
Maybe two, I guess technically.
Maybe two, because they say that, you know, the proctors use this drug as well to keep fighting longer, whatever. But then they never revisit that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that same page. I'm like, they never revisited it. It was very short-lived. And I kind of thought it was a cool concept.
It is a cool concept. I hope it comes back. I don't even know. Because it was just thrown in there. And then we don't hear about it at all.
Right.
Like, it's almost as if they were just there for this drug thing. To find out that the dam was going to be attacked.
Right. And
you know?
they dove right into that, because in the first 5-10 minutes of the episode, we find out that, well, Troy finds out and tells Nick that the Proctors are planning to attack the dam, which you called last episode, so kudos to you.
Strand!
We will get to him, you guys. We're very frustrated.
Sorry.
We will get to him. But just talking of Strand and Madison, they had this really cool moment, and I always loved how the writers write their dialogue and their storyline, because I feel like these two are genuine friends, and they are talking about their future at the dam and what they could build. How did that affect you, that conversation? Did you think it was foreshadowing that Strand would have done something crazy like he did?
You mean to, like, protect them?
Yeah, no, not even to protect them, but, like, to just foreshadowing that Strand was going to do something.
I mean, I think at that point we already knew that Strand had, or at least I did, I'd had the suspicions, and so I think we already knew that he had, you know, turned it over.
Right.
And maybe he was picturing what they could do once he was in charge, I guess.
Mm. That's what I was thinking, because even...
I guess. Why would he think something's going to go over real smoothly, though? Because it never does. You're in a post-apocalyptic world. Things are not going to go the way you think they are.
No.
And they're always selling these ideal, like, situations. They're always saying, hey, we can do this for you if you can do this for us, and no, it's a sure thing, like, we'll do it.
Yeah.
And then things happen. So I don't know why he thought, oh, there will be no resistance, like, well, and also, how did he not think that the Proctors would come in and kill everybody?
Right.
Like, why would he think they wouldn't do that? Except for that he did. He made an exception. He said, don't kill Madison and Alicia. And
Nick. But he didn't care about anybody else. Which...
Yeah, which... Well, it's his character, yeah. So that makes sense. But
What I found interesting was that moment with Strand and Madison before all hell broke loose. When she, like, catches on to, like, he's trying to hide something or that he's, like, not telling her the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
Madison is very perceptive in this way.
She is.
And he tries to play it off with, oh, you know, I have never killed anybody. Have you killed anybody? And they have this whole dialogue. Did you... For me, personally, I believed what he was saying. I didn't think that he was hiding anything else. I didn't think that Strand was going to be behind anything. I thought that he was honestly concerned with, hey, I've never killed anybody, and this conversation was genuine. I might be a little naive. I just maybe had hope for Strand as a character.
I mean, Strand is a deal maker.
Yeah.
You had to assume that was what happened. That's what he was going for.
Yeah.
And she's right. He's not a killer. Daniel was right. He's not a killer, you know? And she, so yeah, I don't know.
I feel like another thing that they didn't wrap up was, Alicia and the pickaxe girl, which we still don't know her name.
Diana.
Diana, thank you.
We had, a wonderful fan leave us a note, on our last one, Colin. Her name is Diana. So thank you.
Thank you, for giving Colin us that name. Or Kaylin. This is why we love you guys and our fans, because you always keep us in check and you tell us things when we miss them. Yes. They have this car crash. We see Alicia's badass fight scene, which I thought was super cool.
Because she can fight the dead and the the undead and the alive. Sorry.
Just a woman of very many words.
Yes.
So then... Diana, we know her name now, mm-hmm. Gets into a little skivvy, and Alicia winds up saving her.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that that relationship was going to be a little bit expanded on, and it wasn't. Another thing that was cut short in this episode. I think that was a missed opportunity.
I imagine that Diana will be back next season.
I do, too.
I don't know that Alicia will be there. also, my whole problem, not necessarily the problem, but it was just, like, it jumped so quickly from Alicia's, like, I'm going to save you, and then... We're all of a sudden in a whole new room with this random doctor, and it was yes. Like, where are they? Are they at the bazaar? Are they, you know, are they somewhere else? It was a little bit jumpy. There was no, like, take me to the proctor area or whatever. There's no true transition.
Yes.
So it was so, like, jolting.
Right. Well, before we get to that, let's catch up really quick, because Nick and Troy tell Madison
mm-hmm.
That the proctors are coming for the dam. And they set up this whole plan about how they're going to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that initially? Did you think that this was going to work?
The defending of
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I mean, with Daniel on their side, I thought that they had a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I thought they did too. And I think they had a genuinely good plan. They were going to close the pipes that people could climb in through, which is how they got in.
Yeah.
For the most part, except for through the boats. So I think it was a pretty good idea. Obviously, they didn't have the manpower or the weapons
right.
to truly defend it. So honestly, rigging the dam was the best fail-safe they could have.
Yeah, and then they're talking.
Smart.
Then they're talking about rigging the dam, and Troy wants to handle the C4. And immediately, I personally was like, "No, he crazy." and I feel like Daniel was on that same wavelength. But Madison vouches for him. I thought that was going to bite her in the ass in the end.
I sort of thought it was too, but I also at the same time knew that Troy's probably the only one with any C4 experience in that group.
Yeah. Well, Daniel has to have C4 experience.
Maybe.
I mean.
Or he was just a soldier, you know? Whereas Troy helped build that entire area, probably helped build the bunkers and like all that stuff. He had to have had some form of experience.
Well, no, he couldn't have because he was a kid when they built the bunkers.
I mean, it doesn't, I don't know that. He was a kid when they built all of them. I feel like they had a few of them.
Maybe.
Not 100% sure. But I mean, he obviously knew structurally where to place the C4.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And clearly it worked. But we'll get to it. Nick and Madison also have this really cool moment because Madison knows that he's using, which we called last episode.
Yep.
And I just feel like she, once again, was over it. She's like, I really don't care if you're using. And I feel like, you know how we ticked off little things for Nick last episode?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this was another one of those ticks that ultimately led him to the decision of what he did in the end.
Like, yeah, I think he also just truly loves his mom and his sister. which is what he made him do, what he does at the end.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to, at the very least, he wants to protect Alicia.
Yeah.
The very least. I thought it was interesting because she, like, I think what everybody was saying in the chat, the comments from last week, you know, why would Alicia and Nick want to get away from their mother? I wanted to say, well, you know, when you were 18, did you want to stay at home with your parents?
Right.
No, you want to break off. It doesn't matter that it's a zombie apocalypse. I think they're kind of learning that it's this world anyway. People are going to die. You're either going to live. It's just the new norm. You have to break away. You have to figure out yourself. Madison says, get something to eat, help, I think, Strand out or somebody, and then I'll decide what we do later.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'll decide what to do with you later. And that is such a parenting thing, and at some point you need to step away and let your kids, like, grow up. And I think that Madison is clinging too tightly to the, I'm the parent.
Do you think that's why she walked away in the end and didn't give much of a fight?
At the very end of the
episode? At the very end, yeah.
No, I have a whole other theory on
okay.
that.
Which okay, okay. Yeah, about. We'll talk about it. Yeah. Back to Alicia really quick. Actually, no. Before we jump to Alicia. Sure. Taka and Lee leave.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to bring that up because there's a lot that happens later on. Because I honestly thought yeah. that they left. I was like, they were out. I thought that was the last time we were going to see them. Like... Yeah, so surprise for me. Back to Alicia. Like you said, this whole Alicia all of a sudden being with Diana in this... I guess infirmary room with this doctor who we find out his name is Eddie. I thought that was really weird. It was a weird transition.
Oh, it was like I just said, it was super abrupt. I mean, I think we all knew that she would help. I just was expecting sort of maybe a establishing shot of her like driving the Jeep into the bazaar,
right.
or like some form of like a here's what's happening instead of a bam, her leg is fixed and now I need you to help me fix this other guy.
It
was just abrupt and I'm fine with that. It moved the story along. They probably just didn't have time to have those little, you know, nuances in it.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. I was confused for a couple of seconds. I was like, what is happening?
Well, and speaking of moving the story along, all the worlds collide because Alicia meets John Proctor who needs a surgery.
A spinal surgery
in the zombie apocalypse. Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
What did you initially think of that? Because we've seen Alicia's badassery. We've seen her, you know, defend herself and her family. But we haven't seen this kind of softer, more, I guess you could say, I don't want to say caring, because she's always been a caring person.
Yeah.
But this more like bedside manner kind of person. I've never seen that, especially toward a stranger.
I would say I agree for the stranger part, but we definitely see her with her bedside manner with Nick in season one. We see her with her bedside manner with Strand in season two. So, and I said that Alicia would have been an amazing nurse if the world hadn't gone to hell in a handbasket. Because she does. She calms him down. She distracts him during the surgery. She does what she needs to do to survive. And... That's what makes her amazing. And when he says you're a strong kid, like you're a strong girl, she's like, you have no idea.
I love that moment.
I loved that because she's willing to do what she needs to. Although she was kind of walking herself into a sticky situation because she's strong. She can take care of herself. But that guy was a straight up creep.
Yeah,
or is a straight up creep. We don't know if he's dead.
Right.
So he, and I'm sure he's going to come back. He's going to be a whole other problem. But he was creepy. He was creepy like. You're a sexual predator of some sort. Creepy.
I'm on the same page.
So I think she was sort of walking herself into a, to be fair, she was kind of like cattled into a cattle shoot, essentially.
Yeah, she really had no choice.
She had no choice. She couldn't say no.
But Alicia always does what she needs to do to survive.
Right. I was a little worried about her.
Oh, yeah.
Until everything that, you know, passed. I was like, oh no, she's getting into like a real bad situation here.
Right, and we'll get to that. If we're jumping around, guys, we're just trying to follow in chronological order, just so we're not as confused.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that happened. Back to Strand and Nick. Strand wants Nick to take Madison and get out of the dam.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows something is going to happen. And he's not telling us exactly what it is. And then he finally lets loose that he... has promised, or he's working with the Proctors to let them into the dam.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised? Because I think we've already established that I was.
And I think we've already established that I was not. I was not surprised at all. I expect nothing less from Strand, to be honest, at this point.
I didn't think that he... Every time I always have hope for Strand, I always think that he's connected with the Clark family. I think that he just wants the best. I think that he's trying to turn over a new leaf.
He is connected to the Clark family. I mean, he did put in a caveat that Alicia and Nick and Madison wouldn't be injured. I think... So, he's trying... He's trying to do what he thinks is best.
While also looking out for himself.
While also... Exactly. Like, right. And I think that's a new concept for him because he has never been that way. Mm-hmm. He's always been about himself. And yeah. So he's going to make mistakes. It's a learning curve. And it's frustrating to all hell. But he is going to... like, you know, he's trying. I'm still pissed at him.
Oh, yeah.
Because none of this would have happened.
And I love how he tells Nick to get Madison and go. Does he not know Madison? Did he really think that she was going to go?
No. And also the fact that he's like, hey, Nick, go get your mom, who you two just butt heads constantly.
Yeah.
Could you two get together and go deal? Like, just get away.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So then there's Nick and Daniel.
Yep.
Which, this scene surprised me, too, because we obviously knew that Daniel was suspicious of Troy from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think that he was going to corner Nick like that. And
I mean, I didn't see that coming, but the minute it was just Nick and Daniel in that room, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was so mad that Nick was like, I'm going to lie to Daniel. It's like, once again, I get where you're coming from, but I mean, your first instinct is to lie in those situations.
Why? Why are they still trying to protect Troy?
Because Nick has this whole, he's trying to figure out how to live in this world in a better way. And in the world before this, Troy would not be murdered. You know, he would be sent to a mental institution. So I think Nick has this weird... he's trying to figure out how to have the civility of the past in this world of insanity. And I love Nick for that. I love that he's constantly trying to figure out ways to do it. Mm-hmm. I think that he saw, you know, what losing it can do. And... So I love his character for that. I think that's great. I think Alicia's sort of the same way. They're just different methods.
Yeah.
I truly appreciated him this one, but also every time he was lying to Daniel, I was like, come on. Like, you know him.
Yeah.
He was a general. He tortured people. He knows when you're lying.
Right, right. And then it goes as far as he tells, like, Daniel this half-truth about Jake. In that initial moment, did we believe that Daniel believed Nick?
I asked you that, and I was like, because I didn't think so.
I
think Daniel was just like, no.
Yeah, I honestly believe that Daniel just let him go, even though he knew he was lying, because mm-hmm. A, he knew the truth, mm-hmm. and B, he is close to Nick, because they have gone through this entire experience together, and I feel like he didn't want to resort to having to torture this boy.
Right.
Like, I don't think that he wanted to do that.
I loved the line where Nick was like, this is not how Ophelia would want you to do this, or whatever, and he's like, I love my daughter, but you and her are wrong.
She's dead. I was like, whoa.
That was a good line.
Yeah, no sympathy. Troy also had this weird confessional moment with Madison, and he's got this weird obsession with the Clark family. I feel like Troy has always wanted to be a part of a family mm-hmm. like the Clark family.
Yeah.
And that's where this crazy obsession comes from.
I think Troy came from a really rough background. His dad was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. His mother was probably not, because she wasn't very attentive. So any sort of, like, acknowledgement and, like, friendship. So he found friendship with Nick. He found a mother in Madison. He was never really close to Alicia. I think he kind of just wrote her off as, you're kind of like my sister now.
Yeah.
But I think that's what he wanted. He wanted that family. He wanted to feel normal.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going into that.
No, go ahead.
But when he's later telling Madison, you know, I finally felt fear. Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to learn those emotions and stuff, and
because he's never really gotten into
he
hasn't been able to be in touch with those,
right? And I think maybe he did know fear as a child with his father and all that. But it doesn't mean it's something that he feels he had grown out of.
I don't think he's grown out of it. I think he's repressed it so much.
Potentially, yeah.
That it just doesn't faze him anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think his true fear was being alone, in all honesty.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Madison sort of forced him to have that. And then that's why he retaliated with the horde. Mm-hmm. So it's sad, but I think he was trying. He was really trying to be a normal person and like feel those normal emotions.
I agree, because even with the whole outpost, the trading outpost, mm-hmm. we, like you said last episode, we kind of got to see that Troy was becoming more of the normal one and Nick was kind of going off of the deep end. Right. And I feel like...
Or what would be standardized as like a normal
right.
person.
Of course. And I feel like that was Troy's way of making it up to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this small way, looking out for Nick was his way of telling Madison that he respected her.
Mm-hmm.
You know
and
what
also
I mean?
Kind of like a... I'm looking out for him. Accept me into the family.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Yeah. Back to Alicia really quick. Because we find this cool backstory to the Proctors. And this is another reason why I don't think that John Proctor is gone for...
Mm-hmm.
I think he definitely will make an appearance next season. But they started off in Southern California. And then they have expanded this entire deadly empire. And he kind of forces Alicia, like we said before, to be a part of the surgery to keep him calm. Now, we saw how Alicia reacted to that. Do we think she should have just left? Do we think she should have just been like, you know what, I'm out, bye? Or do we agree with the fact that she stood by and helped him?
You mean before they went into the surgery?
Yeah.
Okay, I honestly think she didn't feel she had an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in a really dangerous situation. You have these really powerful people, mm-hmm. especially the whole, like, if this fails,
mm-hmm.
then everybody's going to be shot. What's to say he isn't like, yeah, we're just going to kill you because you're not willing to help.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of you're in a rough situation. You got to make the best of it. And she did. She pulled through. She got him to pull through.
Yeah.
Absurdly, because we have issues with the fact that he is walking. a few hours after back surgery.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Like, and also, I mean, I don't know the specifics of the tumor, but it was pressing on his nerves enough that he couldn't walk before, which I believe that means it's within the spine, because you're...
Well, it says like it was pressing on the spine, so maybe it was outside of the spine.
Maybe.
I'm not a doctor, you guys. Maybe you can help us
either.
I mean... Well, I did find it was a little unrealistic for him to just be walking. Like,
yeah.
And you mentioned it during the episode. You said if it was like maybe a week or even a couple of days prior to this.
Prior to the assault on the dam.
Right.
It would make a lot more sense. It just was so quick. It was like, how is this happening?
Right. So right after the surgery, they decide that they're going to go and attack the dam.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he had one of I thought this earlier when we were talking about the brain stems of the dead. Maybe he had one of those.
Maybe.
And it was like, it's a powerful
like
painkiller, it gives you the adrenaline, mm-hmm. you know. So potentially that's, because I mean, the drug seller did mention that earlier.
Yeah,
that
that's
used
a good, that, yeah, maybe.
So,
but I would have liked for them to have wrapped that up a little bit. Maybe
yeah,
give us a
or
clue.
Been like, or like, just like seen him eat one, even like no matter
something.
How disgusting that would have been. Also, I think that the scene with him getting his back surgery was the worst scene of this whole show. I couldn't do it. I could feel the knife in my back. I was like, this is not happening.
I love
no.
how you could deal with like infecteds getting like their faces ripped off by like helicopter rotors, but you can't deal with a little scalp in the back.
Oh,
I can't with
that'd
you.
That'd be so painful. Like, knock me out. I don't care.
So they're going to the dam. Back at the dam, Strand and Daniel notices that the water is flowing in a different way. Now, I didn't exactly know how these guys were going to get into the dam because they've already established that there's three entry points, that they're going to defend those three entry points. And Strand decides to reverse the water so that they have access to the tunnels. Which I thought was actually really smart, because I was like, I didn't know that dams worked that way. I didn't know you could just reverse the water so that people can just like...
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
Wait, so Strand did it before?
Yes.
Like, so when Daniel notices it, Strand had already done that?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because
yeah.
I was like, I'm putting this together now.
Yeah, so he reversed the water in the
I didn't know what the significance of the pipes and the water were at that time. I was like, all right, they're talking about water going the wrong way. Okay.
Yeah, that's how they infiltrated the dam, which I thought was pretty cool on the writer's part. Another thing that I found interesting was that Nick tells Madison about Strand's plan, and then Troy tells Madison about leading the Horde. Mm-hmm. And I totally forgot that Madison didn't even know that he was responsible.
Yeah, same here. I'd totally forgotten that she didn't know. I kind of assumed that she did, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mainly because Troy had said, I killed Jake. And so I think that's the nugget of truth that she got. And he just never expanded that. Oh, right. I also led the Horde here.
Yeah.
Because
Nick was also lying for him at that time, too.
That's true. Yep. Wow.
I was like, that's insane. Did you... So then Madison hits him with a hammer. Were you expecting that reaction? Because I wasn't. After everything that he put them through, after everything, even after they had that moment of him being exiled in the back of the car, she still didn't do anything.
I know.
Do you think it was because of Ophelia?
I think...
I'm done.
I think that's totally a fair assessment. I think it's also, he put Alicia in danger.
Oh, that's a good point, too. Alicia made it out. Like, I was like, oh, Alicia's fine. But you're right.
Yeah, he put Alicia in danger. And for Madison, even though Troy might have been sort of like an adopted child of hers, her children, she would do anything to keep them safe.
Yeah.
And she saw Troy as a threat. Now, to be fair, I thought she had just punched him and was like pulling... In season one, she beats Nick. She punches him or slaps him or something. And so I just assumed it was like a get your shit together slap thing. And then she hit him again. And I was like, whoa, that was a hammer.
Yeah. And you guys, we didn't even think that he was dead at first. We were like, oh, he's going to come back.
I did. I was like, he's dead. And you were like, okay. No, he's not. And I was like, I think he's dead. I mean, if anything, he'll come back as an infected maybe.
But no, I think he's. I think yeah, he's. It was yeah, I think he's trauma. Done. But at the time, I did not know that he was dead. I thought that he was just going to wake up and help them in the end, despite Madison was killing him. But clearly, that was not the case.
Yeah. I don't think he would have helped them.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. No. I think that it would have been too reminiscent of his own family, like his own parents.
Huh. That's yeah. No, you're right. No, I agree with you. Yeah, that's a good point. The Proctors invade the dam, and Strand winds up hiding Alicia and Nick. I mean, Madison and Nick. And then he asks for the detonator, and Madison gives it to him. Were you frustrated at that point?
I was pissed. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, how can you... I get it. She has this deep connection. I think that's why they had that bonding moment earlier in the episode where they were drinking. And, you know, sharing their future prediction type things. And so I guess, she just trusts him implicitly. But I was mad. I was like, you're giving up one of your only...
Your only playing card.
Yeah, but I suppose maybe she thought he would be able to use it better.
I guess.
Because, he would be out there. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do. I understand what you're saying. But I also think, like I just said, you gave away your only playing card. You're literally just being locked in a room. What was stopping anybody from coming in? Like, sometimes I don't understand Madison's thought process. Obviously, it worked out for the best, you guys. Yeah. But at that time, in that moment, I was like, why would you do that?
I think it's because she trusts him. Like, and I don't know why.
I know.
I honestly don't know why, but I think she trusts him to do what's best for her family.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that she promised Thomas that she would always look after him.
I feel like her
giving him the detonator was him giving him power over the Proctors also.
Yeah, exactly. So she,
So she was probably just looking out for him in the end too, always. Like she always is, always looking out for everybody, but she always gets the shit end of the stick because everybody always wants to blame her for everything. So then we move into the second episode, which starts off pretty cool. It's got like these fantasies, which Madison alluded to in the first episode, with this Christmas morning, making a turkey and all this stuff. The first dream had Jeremiah, Troy, Alicia, and then with the gravestones, and then Nick, Luciana, who I was surprised to see back.
All right, she's that cool.
And she's got a baby.
Who's making infected noises.
Yeah, or at least that's what Madison is hearing in the fantasy. And then they drive away and leave her. What did you think was the meaning behind the first fantasy?
The first fantasy, I think she saw it as, she's alone. She's pushing everybody away while trying to help them, and she is now alone. And so, that's what I think the first episode was.
Yeah.
The first
fantasy was.
Fantasy vision.
Or
thing
vision,
was.
Whatever. Yeah, I agree with you.
Which I think, like, we find out what it is later. Like, yeah, how and why.
I just wanted to break them down. Right. Because the first one,
I think all of these, like, imagining things mm-hmm. are happening when she's drowning.
Well,
I mean.
So you think all of them happened in the last moment?
As she was drowning, and it was kind of just her, like.
But they just broke them up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think. That's kind of what I was thinking was happening.
Okay. I disagree. I think that she was having them throughout the entire episode. I felt like she was having them when she felt like she had no other
option. Like, maybe she
option.
Was seeing herself as, like, this is it. I'm going to die.
Because she just gave the detonator away. She's locked in a room with Nick. Like, where do we go from here? And that's when she had the first vision.
I think it's all a compilation of one, though. I think it's all one vision that are just, like, broken up. Because if you watch, she has Nick and Luciana, and then they drive off. And then when she comes back, she has all the guys at her table, mm-hmm. and then it cuts out. And then when it comes back, it's the grave scene. So I think it was all the same one, just sort of,
just cut up.
Cut up. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I don't know. We'll talk about it in the second when we get to the second one, because I still disagree. Maybe you can change your mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
So then Alicia and the Proctors come up on the dam and the Zodiacs, mm-hmm. And Strand sees Alicia. Alicia sees Strand, mm-hmm. Which I love once again how Alicia just plays it cool. She's like, I'm not letting them know that I know anything. And then she gets intel from Strand on where Madison and Nick are. Now, we talked about it in the last episode, which I love how the writers brought them all back together, because we didn't think that they were going to be back together again. We thought that this after this season, like, they were all going to be separated.
I didn't think they'd be back together so soon.
Okay.
I knew at some point they'd all get back together, but mm-hmm. I didn't think it would be the next episode.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So then we go back to Madison and Nick, who are locked in the room, and they mm-hmm. have this intense conversation where Nick is saying how Madison would kill him just like she killed Troy if she had to. And I think this was the second tick on why Nick did what he did in the end as well.
Okay.
Because I just feel like he's disappointed her so much that she's literally lost all faith in humanity for him. Because if this is how he feels, like, she would put him down the same way that she put down Troy if it got to that point, then. And Madison's sitting there, she's like, no, I would never do that. I would never do that. But Nick doesn't believe that.
He doesn't. I think that's I don't know what to call it, but like a foul on his part, because his mom does everything. Like,
I know.
Everything.
I know.
For her kids. And I think it's very foolish and, like, it's such a petty thing. Like,
yeah.
I'll bet you wish I was dead I'll bet you wish you had a phone call and it was me dead. And, I mean, even if she did, because it's got to be real hard, you know, it had to have passed through her mind, to be honest. At some point, like, in one of those phone calls, she was like, if he's just dead, then I know he's no longer in danger.
Yeah.
You know, the worst would have happened, and then he would have been able. Like, she would have been able to, like, sort of move on with her life. And he would be potentially in a better place, in a sense.
Yeah.
And because I think as a mother, you probably look at him and your child doing all the drugs, and you might be thinking they're in a lot of pain.
Mm.
You know, there's something there. Because when they're not on them, they are in pain.
Yeah.
They're having the withdrawals of symptoms, so.
Well, not even from the withdrawals and the symptoms, but like, they're taking the drugs to hide the pain, to cover up the pain.
Yeah, and so I don't. Yeah, I don't think that she ever thought that for Nick. I think it might have been an idea that slipped by, where it was like, maybe it would just be better.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Nick can blame. Like, he can't call it like a fallacy for her, because she's like, she dealt with a lot of crap you threw at her. She continues to deal with all the crap you throw at her.
That's why I love Madison, because she never wavers.
She never falters with her kids. Yeah.
No, never. No matter how much stuff you throw at her, she mm-hmm. she's always like, I'll always be there. I think she was just growing. When I say she's over Nick's whole thing,
I mean, you can't blame her, though.
No, of course, and I don't. I think that she learned.
She's at the point where she's like, I've given you everything
right,
I can.
Right.
There, I cannot give you anything else.
Right. Right.
Because we could look at this whole fantasizing thing as a mental breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
For Madison.
Yeah.
And I truly think it was. I think it was her hitting her breaking point.
Which is exactly why I think that they are three separate things, and they happen when she was under,
sure,
like, crazy duress. One thing that I skipped was Lola and Daniel having that shootout, or not shootout, but getting shot by Strand. I did skip over that. I apologize. But Lola hides him underground to go find Efrain. Mm-hmm. She has another appearance, so I just want to bring her up really quick. So Alicia and Proctor John are having this conversation where she's changing his dressing. And this, mm-hmm, is one of those things that I found interesting, because Proctor John's character I find to be really fascinating. Mm-hmm. He's a good, like, villain character. But he says, when Alicia asks him to spare Madison, mm-hmm, he says that that whole sparing your mother was part of a whole other negotiation thing that failed. So I might not, like, he's alluding to the fact that he's not going to be able to, you know, spare her. Mm-hmm. But in the same sentence right before that, he says, I hate liars, and Strand is a liar. But I'm like, doesn't that make him a liar?
It totally does.
Like, it's such a hypocritical moment. I was like, wait, are you insane?
But see, I mean, liars don't necessarily recognize they're liars.
And they like to pick and choose what they lie about or what they choose to
believe. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't like this guy. I know he's probably going to be the main villain in the next season.
I hope so, because he's, like, good.
Cool. But also,
yeah.
It's going to be real frustrating, guys.
Yeah.
That's all I know about next season, is that if he is the main villain, it's going to be real frustrating.
Do you think so?
I'm going to be frustrated.
I don't
because
know.
He's
I,
such a creepy dude.
He is creepy, so but I think
creepy
that's what
on
makes
so
him...
many levels.
See, that's what makes him... That's what makes him a good villain.
I suppose.
I do want him to be likable, though. Like Negan in The Walking Dead. Like, Negan's batshit crazy, but you like him. I think that's what makes a fantastic villain. Like, when you're like, I really like you, but I hate you. As of right now, I'm just like, I hate you, Proctor John. There's no redeeming qualities in you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if they do bring him back, I just need them to give more of a likability to him.
Yeah.
So Strand is trying to help Madison and Nick escape now, because he's come back, and he's sticking to his word because, mm-hmm, he cares about Madison, and that goes to shit. Mm-hmm. Then we have this reunion with Proctor John, and this is when we've been climbing this ladder this entire episode, you guys, but this is when it, like, takes a really weird and deadly turn, because he doesn't like Nick for whatever reason. But he likes Alicia. Now, Alicia promised that she would go with him to Texas or wherever if she spared Madison. But, mm-hmm, she never said anything about Nick. And now he knows about Nick, but he wants to kill Nick.
I think it's partially, he said earlier that it's a lie by omittance.
Yeah.
And I think, so he is seeing Alicia as having lied about her brother.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't like liars.
And he doesn't like liars.
Even though he is one. which I just, this, that whole scene in the little holding room or whatever it was,
mm-hmm,
when he's literally saying, I have to kill your brother. Like, I did not know how they were going to get out of this. I was like, what is happening? Like, this is insane. I totally forgot about the C4. I'm going to be completely honest.
Oh.
Totally forgot about that. Didn't know how that was going to come into play. Because they were.
I remembered it. I just didn't know how they were going to pull it off.
Right, because then they were on the dam,
mm-hmm,
and then this is where the second fantasy comes in, because Nick takes out the detonator after he hugs Strand, and he has it in his hand, mm-hmm, and he's about to blow it, mm-hmm, and then this is when the second fantasy comes in for Madison.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's this
which had an
theme.
Amazing transition, but
it did. It did have an amazing transition, and then this scene is when she is she's at the table with all of these guys who aren't that close to her. And, mm-hmm, all of a sudden, Jeremiah's. Most of them are dead. Most of them she had
or
a hand.
She thought were dead, I think.
And then all of a sudden, Jeremiah's head is on the platter, and she walks, and then Strand walks out, and then Madison follows, and then she's overlooking all of these gravestones.
Mm-hmm.
What did we think of that? What did you think the meaning of behind that was? Because I initially thought that she's walking she's looking at all these gravestones because she feels responsible for all of these deaths, because they're literally sitting on the dam and it's about to go, and right, she's like, I guess I'm responsible for killing my entire family and all of these people.
I think that's what it was, is that all of those gravestones, I think it was that everything I touch dies sort of thing.
That's a good point. Yeah,
like, no matter how much she is trying to survive, everything dies.
Yeah. And then we switch back to the dam, and, mm-hmm, that's when you said there was a really good transition, because
she looked up, there's a plane crossing over, and it it panned up over it, and then it panned down to the detonator in Nick's hand. And that was a really good transition. I was like, cool.
It was. Good job, cinematographers on Fear the Walking Dead. So Nick's about to blow it, but then he bargains with John Proctor, mm-hmm. or Proctor John, whatever you want to call him, to save Madison, Alicia, and Strand, and he'll stay behind. And Madison just goes, free willingly. She doesn't say anything to him. She doesn't say, I love you, Nick. Mm-hmm. She doesn't say, please come with me. She doesn't even try to bargain with Proctor John, like, I'll do it, I'll stay. Why do you think that was? Because I thought this was I was caught completely by surprise when Madison didn't say anything to him. See, here was my initial thought. Here was my initial thought. I feel like she understands that he's been hiding all of this pain and taking mm-hmm. all these drugs to hide all of this pain.
Which I would love to know what the pain is at some point, because...
I would too. And I feel like she recognizes the fact that he's just going to do whatever he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And if this is what he feels he needs to do, then there's nothing she can do to stop him. Nick has always done whatever he wants. He's always, like, gone to the beat of his own drum.
It was sort of a step of her just kind of letting him go, letting him do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's evident of earlier when she's like, all right, you're using again, just like, you know, eat.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that was just an extension of her feelings from previously.
Yeah. So then...
And I think she was having a mental breakdown, so I don't think she had any sanity to, like, be able to say, no, don't do it. I mean, she does say it later when she's in the Zodiac. I think maybe she thought he had another plan to get out.
Yeah.
She knows that he's a survivor, that he would survive in some form. You know, so I think she had faith in him.
Right. To get out of the situation.
Yeah.
But, well, I honestly didn't. And just when we think we're at, like, this breaking point, all of a sudden these gunshots ring out, mm-hmm. and Taka and Lee are back, which caught me by surprise.
That caught me by surprise, too.
I was like, that's really cool.
That was really cool.
Because I wrote them off.
Yeah. I was mad they weren't targeting the Proctor.
I was a little baffled that they weren't, like, they shot two people and then they stopped.
Yeah.
I'm like, why wouldn't you keep shooting everybody and just taking them down one by one by one? You know what I mean?
I mean, would you want that on your conscience? It is this whole, like, apocalyptic world where everybody die, either comes back as a villain.
I mean, you already shot two of them, and it was Lee shooting. And Lee, you know, was in the Marines or whatever.
That's important, yeah.
And in Iraq or
Armed forces of some form.
Yes.
Sort.
So he should, you know, be familiar with just killing people.
Yeah, but it's still obviously it probably haunts him. I think that, if we want to go into Madison's last
well, yeah, well, before that, though, like, Nick obviously presses the button. Mm-hmm. The dam explodes.
Daniel does some awesome shooting.
Yeah, Daniel does some awesome shooting because he's back. Crawled his way out of the little dungeon thing. And the Zodiac is being pulled back into the hole in the dam.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously flips over because the next scene that we see is...
It gets flooded.
Yeah, it gets flooded. Mm-hmm. And then Madison's underwater and she's drowning. And that's when the next fantasy comes in. And this fantasy is Madison walking among tombstones. She steps in front of Jeremiah's grave and then he's like pulling her under.
Yeah, he reaches up and grabs her. And I think that was just sort of symbolic that everybody you kill doesn't disappear. It's still there. It's still unconscious. Mm-hmm. And she feels guilty for his death. I think she feels guilty for Jake's death. She feels responsible for a lot of people's deaths in some form.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the reason it was Jeremiah's grave because Nick killed him. And Nick had never killed a live human mm-hmm. at the time. In fact, he didn't really like killing the infected humans.
Yeah.
So I think that it sort of symbolized two things. I think a lot. It was symbolizing Nick's loss of, in her mind, innocence.
Mm-hmm.
To a degree.
Yeah.
It was sort of the turning point, especially, like, between her and her kids.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's why it was his grave and not someone else's.
I completely agree with you. I'm just going to piggyback on that and mm-hmm. say that this whole Jeremiah thing, I feel like she almost regretted doing it, because mm-hmm. if she hadn't done that, maybe it would have been having a different outcome. Maybe Ophelia wouldn't have died. Right. Maybe, like it's all of this stuff that she just feels guilty about. Maybe if Jeremiah didn't die, if we hadn't killed him, then maybe all of this wouldn't have happened.
True.
You know what I mean?
Side note, I loved Nick's line where he's talking to John, Proctor John, and Proctor John's like, well, you know, we were just destined to find this violence and war. And he goes, you know, I've heard that from someone before. And the last guy I killed.
Yeah. I mean, Jeremiah's been gone, but he was very prevalent in this episode. And yeah. that's why I came up with this last conclusion.
Because it was
of,
turning point for so many characters.
Yeah.
In the show. So.
Yeah, I agree. So then we see Madison. She doesn't drown, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls herself to shore. But we are left with all of these questions, you guys. Who is dead? Who's alive? We know Madison's alive.
We also saw Daniel pull Nick off of the dam.
Well, we saw them walk away.
Yeah, but I think I personally believe they made it off.
I think so, too.
It didn't seem like it was too unstable. It was more of the fact that the water was no longer stored.
Being held back, yeah.
And a point of power.
Yeah.
So I think that they're fine. I don't know about Alicia or Strand. They're the ones I'm most worried about.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lee and Taka are good. I think Diana is good. I think she just needs to get her leg healed. So really, it's just down to Strand and Alicia.
And then the Proctor and his people. But, like, where'd they go?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of them died. I think some of them fell in when the dam was collapsing, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like we said, I think... He's going to stick around. He's going to be the villain next season. I think that the whole Madison drowning, being pulled into the grave, seeing Travis and then being pulled back to life, it was a whole, you know, she just had a near-death experience. Yeah. She has seen God in my eyes. I think she's going to be a born-again sort of Christian. She might even take on a new name. Like, I think she just might recreate herself for next season.
So do you think she's going to be, like, the Morgan of The Walking Dead next season in Fear of the Walking Dead? Like, she's going to have this new respect for life. She's not going to want to kill everybody. She's going to be very, like, zen about, like, or more picky or choosy. So she's not going to just do it, like, willy-nilly.
She's going to adopt the most passive...
Mm-hmm.
like lifestyle she yeah. can. I yeah. think she's going to try and fly under the radar in every sense.
Yeah.
That's my prediction for next season.
No, I agree with you. I think that there's going to I feel like as much as I don't like all of the loose ends this season finale, I feel like it's a good resetting point for the writers and to go into next season.
Right.
We do have that crossover to look forward to. At hopefully that happens. In The Walking Dead this season, which comes back on October 26th, or maybe next season for season 4 of Fear the Walking Dead. I don't know if this show has gotten greenlit for a season 4 yet. Do you know that?
Fear?
Yes.
I think it has. Because,
it has.
IMDb has season 4 already.
Thank you.
Up, so.
Okay, good. Yeah. So that we have to look forward to. We just want to say thank you to all of our fans, because without you guys, we wouldn't be here. We certainly wouldn't be checked like we are. We certainly wouldn't have such a great time looking at all of your comments and your questions and your tweets and your thoughts throughout the entire season. So thank you guys for being with us.
I'm going to fire off some names real fast just because it is our season finale of this, or for this show, not The Walking Dead Weekly, but for Fear. So we have Claire Dillard, Locked121, we have Simon Serna, and Colin, and Kat H, and Daniel Johnson. Thank you for leaving comments on our video from last week.
Yeah.
We love hearing what you have to say. Sorry we couldn't get into actually reading your comments because this was a big one. We had two hours to talk about in a single hour.
But we do see your comments, guys, and we do love that you guys interact with us.
Definitely.
It means a lot to us. Natalie, I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you, too.
I don't know what we're going to do. Hopefully, you guys, this is The Walking Dead Weekly, so we might be back for The Walking Dead on October 26th. We don't know.
This show, I think, will probably be back.
Yes, The Walking Dead Weekly will be back for The Walking Dead coverage. But in terms of Natalie and I being on that panel, we're not sure yet.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
I mean,
we don't know. But it was a pleasure doing this season with you. Once again, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in tonight for the season 3 finale of Fear the Walking Dead on The Walking Dead Weekly. make sure you subscribe to AfterBuzz TV. We've got all new channels. If you like any of those, subscribe to them too. Natalie, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Natalie Dyer. That's NataleeDyer on all social media platforms. I'm also on a D&D podcast, which releases new episodes every Saturday, called Welcome to the Dungeon Hole. You can find us on SoundCloud and at The Dungeon Hole on Twitter.
And I am Timothy Michael. You guys can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. Even though we will be on hiatus, tweet us, comment on our Facebook video, our YouTube videos. We love to read them while we're on break. And we will see you guys next season. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Who's alive? Buzz you later.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.